Hey guys, this episode is brought to you by Mindful Coffee Company. Mindful Coffee is a locally owned micro roaster who believes in fresh roasted coffee beans in every single cup. They offer a variety of single origin and blended coffee beans while hand roasting every single bag. You can place your order online and have it shipped directly to your home by going to www.mindfulcoffeecompany.com. When ordering Mindful Coffee, please use the coupon code PODCAST for 20% off your next order. That's right, 20% off your next order when using the code PODCAST. Trust us when we say this is a cup of joe you will crave every morning. Until the next coffee, my friends. Listening to the Taste Masters, where we delve into the world of craft beer, liquor, and other beverages. All right, guys, another fun episode today. We are here at Hopkins Brewing, and I have my dear friend and co-host, Mr. Chad Hopkins. Chad, welcome to the show, brother.
Hi, David.
Long time no see, dude.
Yeah, missed you, man.
I missed you too, man. Hey, I got something cool for you, though. I have some badass motherfuckers from Dented Brick Distillery.
Nice.
So in front of us, I have Harley and Tui. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks
Hello.
For having us.
So, Harley, you're the head distiller, correct?
Correct.
And Tui, what is your position in Dented Brick?
I am the bottling and batching supervisor.
Gotcha. Okay, so I got some big dick swingings here at the from Dented Brick. I like this. Okay, so I want to know who you guys are. So let's start off right off the bat. Harley, who are you? Where do you come from? Tell us about your trek from the beginning to Dented Brick.
Well, I am a Utah born person. I was born in Twilla in 1982. anyway, I come from some bikers, obviously.
Nice.
Harley.
Yeah.
My middle name's David, so Harley David.
No way, for real?
For real.
That's awesome.
Yeah. They got to the hospital without a name and thought of their motorcycles.
I guess.
And let's see, I went to high school in Twilla, and I then after high school began working in a warehouse. I had a few jobs before that. Became the warehouse supervisor, operations supervisor, did that for about 11 years, and then there was going to be the operations manager position available for me, and I didn't like it. I didn't want to do it. So I quit, and I traveled around for a couple months because I'd saved some money doing murals. I also do art. And then I came back to Utah, almost 30 years old, no money. Had to move back in with my mom for a minute. It was very short-lived. Found High West through my buddy Luke.
Oh, cool. What year was that tip in High West?
That was 2011.
Okay.
And then Luke was managing the bottling line, so I began working the bottling line. I was like, oh, I like whiskey. I'd like to learn more about it. I need an interim job until I find what I'm going to do because I didn't really know. And then I just kind of really took off with it. Moved over to blending real quick, became blending supervisor, did blending supervisor role for about 4 years, then moved over to production and did that for about 5 years before moving to Dented Brick.
Interesting. Jeez.
Nice. How long have you been at Dented Brick?
A year now.
Oh, cool.
So you have products in front of us. I said we christened this episode and break one up. So what's one you want to break open real quick?
Well, so most of these are going to be pretty flavorful. So we only have mostly gins. We have two gins, two whiskeys, and one rum, a barrel finished gin. So they're gonna blow our palates out.
Yeah.
I say gin. Let's go gin. Let's go gin. So we do the Bristlecone gin.
I don't know if I found that one yet.
Let's do it. Bristlecone gin. Tell us about this one,
Sounds
Harley.
Good.
The Bristlecone gin is fermented and distilled at Dented Brick. So unlike our craft gin, which is a redistilled gin where we buy GNS, and then we put the botanical loads in there, we macerate it, and redistill it. This is fully from fermentation.
Gotcha.
Nice.
All the way through. And so botanicals in Bristlecone are juniper, spruce tips, orange peel, lemon peel, a little bit of lavender just to smooth it out, coriander, and angelica root.
Oh.
So.
Just tickling my fancy, tell you what.
Nice.
I had to look at the list because we don't make this one.
So who came up with this concoction?
One of the previous distillers, and I'm not entirely sure who to give the credit to on that one. I could list off the three that I think it is, but I don't want to offend anyone.
Thank you. Cheers. Yeah.
Cheers, gentlemen. Yes.
Cheers.
Oh, that's nice.
I like that citrus in there. Ooh. And it's not... I thought it'd be hotter. I thought it'd be like, give me chest hair, or sends the chest hairs off. It's not. Wow.
Like very mellow from the...
45 ABV?
End. Yeah, it's... Wow. Yep.
This is dangerously smooth.
Yes. I like that lemon. You don't really get that in a lot of gins. Like, it's pretty unique.
I like that, though. Yeah, I like that a lot. So Chad makes a in-house tonic and seltzer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, gin and tonic would be fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's going really well with that.
Ooh. Well, probably well done. Well done.
Yeah. Yeah, again, not my recipe, but I did distill this.
That's so awesome. Nice. Yeah. So Tui, let's go to you.
Okay.
Tui, dude.
Yes.
Who is Tui? I feel like everyone in the dog knows you. I feel like you know everyone.
It seems like everyone.
I feel like,
does.
What the hell? I think you're kind of a secret celebrity in Utah.
Yes, try to be a secret celebrity, I guess you can say.
So tell me, Tui, tell me who you are, where you're from. Start us from the beginning.
Okay, from the beginning, I was born and raised here in Salt Lake City. Let's see, before I even started High West, so I did construction for a while. And when the construction business took a crash, also, I see High West was looking for bottlers, so I kind of started from there and just kind of worked my way from bottling to blending to a warehouse coordinator and just did both of those sides. And after that, when I left High West, I went to Level Crossing Brewing, and I did that for about almost a year and a half.
So you went from distilling or blending?
Blending.
To
brewing. So I was kind of like a cellar person. Mm-hmm. I did everything there. I felt like I was doing warehouse, I was doing deliveries and whatnot, and just kept that place going for a while. And after that, Dentabrick was looking for peeps, and I decided to come on and do spirits again.
Oh, awesome. So which, not to play favorites, but which world do you like best, the distilling world or the brewing world?
I like both. That's the thing. I miss the brewing side and everything, and just... I love distilling too, so I love both sides of the world. So I can't give you which side I like
nice.
The most.
I like that.
So I like both sides. It's just it's awesome.
So have you been in Utah most of your life then?
Yes.
Oh wow.
Yes. Yeah.
So you are a native. These are your mountains.
Yes, these are my mountains. Yes. Not really my mountains, but yes.
You own them. So gentlemen, time at time High West. I mean, how you guys both meet at High West?
Yes.
Pretty much. Part of it was my blending. Manager up there. I was on the blending team, so
like I feel like that crew, the crew from High West, everyone came from High West, right?
Yes.
So I mean, we have friends. Ethan's a good friend of ours, and then the boys who started Eight Settlers. You got Dylan and Jason over there. Who else is in the distilling industry right now that's from High West that I can't name top of my head?
There is Scott Coburn. He's up in Banff as head distiller. I don't know the name of the distillery yet because that was a recent change. He was at Mythology in Denver.
Okay.
Previously, there is Davin. I'm going to forget Davin's last name. He is at a distillery in Texas as the head distiller. Mark Erickson, he was a market analyst, and he had a lot of roles at High West. He's moved on to be the brand manager at Laws Distillery. In Denver, which they make fantastic whiskey. If you haven't had any,
interesting.
Try
really
some.
Cool.
And I don't know. There's at least 10 other people.
But. Yeah. But I don't know why High West is like this epicenter of just cool distillers. Like, you guys came from a cool place. And I feel like it's the mother of all, in Utah anyway, it's like distilleries, and everyone kind of came off. Because Chad and I interviewed Hammerspring, and It was, he just wanted to learn, like, I just want to know distilling. He started from the ground up with no knowledge, just became a distiller. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait, you didn't come from High West? Like, it's like, right. Everyone else did.
Well, I think High West came out here, and they're the only thing out here.
They were the only thing.
And probably since pre-prohibition, you know. And then it was just them for a long time, and they blew people's minds with their peach vodka. I don't think they even make that anymore.
No more.
But, like, it was like peach vodka. Like, and it just, and taking over that old location they did up there, it was awesome. High West did some cool shit.
Yeah, kick ass, for sure.
And yeah, but they definitely, like, they kind of sparked some good stuff in Utah with the distillers opening up and breweries too. I mean,
oh, for sure.
So, but they trained their people well, and now they're moving around Utah doing cool shit for the rest of us. So,
thank God.
It's so good to see, like, growing up, like, we're all pretty close to the same age, like, growing up here, seeing nothing in Utah. I mean, we had great beer, like, just the big breweries, and now it's like, you know, a little distillery here, a little distillery here, a little brewery, like.
Yeah,
it's wild. It's little Salt Lake so City much, is yep. full alcohol. This
and good alcohol.
Good, yeah, yes, good. Good alcohol. Yeah, we're making great stuff everywhere. So,
Harley, question for you.
Yeah,
tell me about the story behind Dented Brick. I know you guys. I was looking at your website recently, and it's pimped out. It's sexier. It's gotten a little love to it, and there's a lot more going on. Mm-hmm. You guys have some more new labels as well, I've noticed.
Yep.
So tell us what's going on. What's Dented Brick? Who's Dented Brick? And then what's this change?
So Dented Brick started out, they built a large building in South Salt Lake and paid for the equipment and just, you know, incurred a lot of that upfront cost so that they could try to grow into a bigger brand at some point. They wouldn't, you know, hit that point and not have room and have to grow larger. And it's been growing the last couple of years. They introduced this value line. So we have a craft gin, a craft whiskey, craft vodka, and rum. And their sourced products, we redistill the gin. So we are doing the botanicals ourselves and redistilling it. The whiskey is a blend of sourced whiskeys and our whiskey. And, you know, $15.99 for the gin, rum, vodka, and $22.99 for the whiskey. So the company's seen great growth through that and been able to keep the lights on. By great growth, it's by no means ridiculously big. But we've also, you know, that affords us to be able to make our premium line, which is, you know, the Bristlecone, the 100% Rye Moon's Best, Antelope Island, and, you know, a handful of other things. We have about 16 SKUs right now, which is pretty big.
That's a lot.
It's a big portfolio and big brand. It's kind of a three-tier, like, there's this super premium, which right now is only the Moon's Best whiskey, and then there's just the premium, which is all the other stuff that we ferment and distill, and then the value line stuff that we source. And we do a number of things, too. You know, the vodka, we source Gin S, and we filter extensively. And then we offer it to people for a great price, and it's a great product at that price, in my personal opinion. That's kind of what's been going on over there, you know?
Yeah.
Sales are increasing at a decent rate, and we're happy with that.
Good.
We always we'd like to see more. But, you know, that we need to get out into other markets, and I just take salespeople and all that stuff.
Is there talk of going Dented Brick outside of Utah?
So we are in some other states.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we are in New York, Florida, Washington,
oh, wow,
California, and we send 2 6-packs a month to Wyoming of Antelope nice. Island. And then, you know, we're kind of sprinkled a little bit out farther than that. Oh, and Missouri is a new one
that
came online.
Oh, wow. Jeez, guys.
So yeah, we'll try.
That's crazy.
Expanding. How long has Dented Brick been around?
So the doors opened in 2016 is when the, you know, first distillations were being done, fermentations and distillations.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then I was told that my research, that Dented Brick has a spring in it, or a spring?
We have an artisanal well. underneath the distillery.
Awesome. Is that for real? Yeah.
Yes, for real.
Is it working?
Yes, absolutely. What? No, no bullshit.
Yeah, no bullshit. It's just no actually bullshit. Working.
We've got great water here in Utah, so.
Yeah, so that feeds all of our mashes, and it's nice. Great. It has great minerality, and it's real nice.
So do you use that well water in most of your stuff?
We use it in our mashes currently. We use RO water for all of our clear spirits, or for our aged spirits, and then we use a combo of the well water and RO water for our clear spirits to add a little bit of body to it.
Nice. I didn't know that. That's really cool. Tui.
Yes.
Question for you. You ready for this?
Okay. I hope so.
So watching, going from the brewing industry to the distilling industry, you're seeing Dented Brick grow.
Yes.
What excites you the most about the growth inside of Dented Brick?
How do I say this? I don't know. It's like, I feel like going from the brewery, like Level Crossing, since they're like a startup company and just trying to help them get them growing and moving. And going to Dented Brick, I almost feel like the same. It's like they're starting up and just trying to get things going again and just putting my, can't think of the word, but I guess my knowledge or experience and just showing them like, hey, let's do it this way. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Things going. So
you liking it though?
I'm sorry, what?
You're liking it? You're having a good time?
Oh, yeah. I'm having a good time. Almost anywhere I've been, I always have a good time. I never had any, I don't know what to say, but I'm always smiling too much.
Every time I see Tui, he's always
like, yeah, it's like, I can be like sweating to death and just still be smiling away. And just,
that's good. That's a good lifestyle, dude. I'm glad you have that. That's why I think that's why you're so loved by so many people.
Yes.
So I had a question from Ethan specifically for you.
Okay.
How many breweries and distilleries have you worked at in Utah?
Let's see, 2 distilleries and 1 brewery.
There you go. Ethan thinks you work.
Or you mean like side?
How many do you go help with?
How many do you actually work with?
Just so many, I guess. I don't know. I was like, I'm willing. Like, if they need help, I'll be there.
Yeah, so. We'll take it all the time.
Yeah,
nothing wrong with that.
Yes,
I like that.
That's why Tui was the right hire for us when we had a position available.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, Tui, we need Tui right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you guys support the Utah Spirit Trail?
Yes, absolutely. Charles is great. And
So if I come there, I got to come get a cool stamp, right?
Yes.
There's only 1 location at Dented Brick, or do you guys have another location?
Just one.
Just one? Yeah. So to support the trail, you got to go get the stamp from you guys. You got to. Is this your stamp have the new DB, that logo?
I will look into that.
Oh, my God.
I do not know.
We don't even know. We're like,
I want to see this. All right, Tui. We have a couple in front of us. We have the Antelope Island Rum. You guys have a secret concoction, right? And then we have these 2 whiskeys. I think they're not whiskey yet. I think we should wait on the whiskey, I think. Right? Because sure gin, about. I don't know. But, Tui, what's the next one you want to break open? And let's try you guys' stuff
out. So we're going to wait on the whiskey? Okay.
I don't know. It's up to you guys.
Your call. I already tried this.
I'm just looking.
You got the rum.
Let's do this one, the Antelope
Rum. Antelope Island Rum. So this one, if I recall, this is Ethan's baby, right? This is his recipe. I guess he started it, if you will, and you probably have changed it since or modified it.
I assume so. I don't have a ton of archival information from that era, so I haven't been able to.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I know the previous iterations before I came on. And then it gets a little washy.
Right. I gotcha. So I'm excited for this one. I feel like this is the rum that helped put Dented. I think it's the one that put Dented Brick on the map. Just because it's good.
Yes.
I mean, since last time I had it. And I feel like it's everywhere. And you guys just recently changed the label.
Yes.
I've noticed that. It used to be, the antelope in the front. It's an Antelope Island rum. And then now it's like in the back?
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Do you want to take it?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it gives it more of a catch your eye look. Almost gives that 3D dimension look kind of.
Okay.
And like, I don't know, the colors and everything, it stands out. If I was walking by, that's the first thing I'd be like, whoa, what's that?
I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean.
I like it's a clean look. It looks great. These bottles are really cool too. The embossed logos and stuff.
Yeah, so we're switching it up a little bit to this brick, and we're kind of rebranding to a degree, not like full rebrand, but just to make a more identifiable logo, kind of.
Okay.
You know, like the nice. The Nike swoosh, like the brick is supposed to speak that, pretty much.
It's funny you say that because you guys have the Rum SLC, like kind of like the DMX kind of shout out, right?
Yeah.
And upstairs, one of Chad's bartenders, she's like, "I've seen these everywhere. Yeah. What the hell is this?" So you guys are kind of. It's out there.
It's good marketing. Yeah, it's
sure. Like, what the fuck is this, though?
I like how Salt Lake's kind of taking on the Run DMC thing. Like,
yeah.
There was the Run SLC, yes. And now there's Rum SLC.
Like, you should put like a little brick behind it, though. Then you know it's Denver.
Or on the back.
Yeah. Yeah. This is last season's shirts before the rebrand.
It's like the first old school.
When Ethan was still there.
Ethan was there. Oh, yeah.
So I think that this was like a potentially a brainchild of Ethan's as well.
Gotcha.
I'm not entirely sure.
He's a music head.
Yeah.
Yes.
Makes a lot of sense.
Ethan was Dennerbrick for quite a while, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is the Rum, gentlemen, right?
Yes. Yep. This is the Rum.
How long do you guys let this? Wait, this isn't barrel aged. This is the barrel aged one. No.
Yep.
It's the clear. So how long does a batch of this take to make then?
The fermentation is done within about, we leave it for 68 hours, but it's finished up pretty quickly. Rum yeast goes very fast because they ferment at higher temperatures, but we also are getting up to like 12% ABV in there, so they do slow down at the end. So it takes about 68 hours and then a day of distillation. So four days and then a batch, 5 days.
Wow.
Start to finish.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It's so different. Like, I don't know. I know a little bit about distilling, but
yeah.
I know I like to drink distilled spirits, but like so different than beer when it comes down to like finished product.
Mm-hmm.
What's that sweetness in there? I can't nail it. It's almost, to me, it's almost raisin-esque. The very end palate.
On the palate,
I'm getting, yeah.
On the nose, I get a hint of butterscotch and different stone fruits, and then a little earthiness. But on the palate,
to me, it's like the best I can think of right now. Maybe that butterscotch is more closer to it, but I get like a raisiny sweetness, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it's almost a hearty sweetness. Chad, love your palate. What the fuck is that, Chad?
Yeah, I'm picking up like the raisin, the butterscotch. But there's something like kind of mid palate that's.
I can't.
Like dark fruits, you know. That's what I'm.
Yeah, stone.
Yeah, you get a lot of stone fruits on the nose.
I'm just thinking about cocktails I want to make with this. I feel like it'd be a great mixer. It's fantastic. I feel like if I saw someone do just a little bit of cranberry in there, like some type of knockoff juice, I'd be like, God, be creative with it because this is good.
It's an interesting like mineral kind of flavor mid palate. That's what I'm picking up.
Mm-hmm.
So the mash of this is that well water?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So that's probably picking up there.
Ah.
That Utah spring water.
Interesting.
So we use turbinado and molasses from Louisiana. It's grown there at Lulu Westfield on a farm there, harvested and processed in Louisiana.
Nice.
Molasses, dude. That's totally what it is.
Molasses.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
100%. Now I'm like, oh fuck yeah. We nailed it, guys. Good job.
We've got one of your rum barrels.
So, yeah, we noticed that when he came in. We're like, whoa.
So wait. Go ahead. Go for it.
I was just gonna say, I went to Joel at Mountain West, had it for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
He hit me up. He's like, you want this barrel? I'm like, sure.
It's had some cider in it.
Yeah. I think they did their still water or something with it.
It's called Stillwater. Yeah, the blue label.
I'm like, just as long as you don't want it back, because I'm going to put some wild yeast strains in it. He's like, oh, don't tell me that. Like,
it's what you don't do in the wine industry.
He's like, I don't want to know about that. But like, just don't give it back. I'm like, all right.
So going off that, great segue to the barrel program. You guys have a barrel program in Denton Brick.
Yes.
So Harley, tell us about the barrel program.
So the barrel program is... you come in as an investor. You invest money in one or multiple barrels, if you so choose. And then that affords us, it's $1,200. That affords us the you know, all the raw materials. So we make the product, you sign your name on the barrel, it rests for 2 years, and at the other end we have this product, and then you, an investor, will get 20%, all their money back and 20% return, and the rights to the barrel, and we can sell you back as much of the whiskey as you want, but you have to, we have to pay you back that investment for it all to be legal.
Oh, gotcha.
So it can't be like you just invest and then you take that anyway, and then you have to buy the spirit at full price because we're in Utah.
Yeah, because we're in Utah.
Well, yeah, I don't know how it would work out anywhere else, but that's how it works out here.
Yeah. That's really cool.
That's a cool project.
Chad, you want to go in on a barrel?
I do.
What do you guys do after this?
Sign a contract?
Yeah, let's go. No, but you pointed the moon's best.
Yeah, so this is from that barrel aging program, the first iteration. So this is the first release of everything done in-house. Whiskey from Dented Brick, and it was 8 barrels from that we blended together. They're char 2, char 3s. So this begins its life, obviously, as water, grain, but it's 100% unmalted rye mash bill. So you know we have to get a little tricky with temperatures and enzymes and stuff to process that, but then we distill it, put it into barrels, aged it for just over 2 years, char 2, char 3s, and then we picked the best char 2, char 3s, and blended them together. We made a blend out of that.
So why char 2 and char 3? Why specifically those two chars?
I was not on board when that choice was made, but I like it a lot. It, I believe, makes a little bit softer of a rye whiskey. So rye whiskeys, are very spicy and punch you in your face, especially after 2 years, only 2 years. And this comes out at 2 years being, pretty soft and nice.
Not punch you in the face.
It still probably will punch you in the face a little bit.
So what level of char do they the barrels go up to?
Four is pretty much industry standard. For all your Kentucky bourbons and ryes typically will be in a 4 unless they're like some other type of maturation.
Interesting. And why unmalted rye?
Well, I did not make that decision.
So you guys are basically like step mashing, I would assume.
Yeah.
Basically malting it yourselves.
Yeah, gelatinizing it in the mash cooker. So.
Interesting.
We also, in the distilling world, we can use exogenous enzymes. And we can dose pretty strongly and not have it affect our flavor profile.
Nice.
So. Not bad at all. You guys give tours now?
We are open for tours.
Yeah. Yes. So what's a tour look like at the old DB?
So right now it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. There's slots from 5 to 8, and we are still working that out a little bit.
Gotcha.
So I think we're going to open it up a little bit more, but that's like currently in the works in the background.
That's awesome. And you guys have awards?
We have some awards. Yeah.
Talk to us about the accolades you guys have with Dented Brick.
Well, the Moon's Best just won New York Spirit International Spirit Competition. Sorry.
Badass.
Gold.
Hey.
Wow.
Yeah.
Saw you post that to EMI, guys. Congrats.
We're going to have to try that.
That's next for sure.
Well.
Or the gin.
Kind of feel like we should go to that.
The gin one.
That barrel.
Anyway, continue. Sorry.
Yeah, we have a bunch of other. I don't have a list on.
But that's the most recent one, right?
That's one of the most recent ones. This won a John Barleycorn Award.
The whiskey?
The well whiskey, the blended value line whiskey.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, I think I'm with Chad on that one. I say we break down that barrel aged
rum.
Rum. Gin.
This
rum.
Is gin.
Oh, it's gin? Oh, okay.
Gin. Gin.
I think we go there before
gin.
We go to.
It's gin finished in a Chardonnay barrel. I pulled it this morning. It's not.
What?
So it's still finishing. So this is not going to be the end product, but I wanted to bring something fun.
Oh my God! Yes.
Show you guys.
So is this your little baby?
This is one of my little babies.
Okay, Harley, tell us.
I got a lot of little babies.
What gave you the idea for this baby?
Well, we had some Chardonnay barrels become available to us, and I wanted to put whiskey in them, but we had pretty limited available stocks on whiskey because I just would want to finish in a Chardonnay barrel. So I was like, well, put some gin in there. I started doing some research. There's only one other gin product on the Chardonnay finished gin on the market, and I was like, well,
oh really?
Let's give this a try. And so we put some in there, and we've been checking it every month, and it's been pretty interesting.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. I like the direction it's taking. We'll see where it lands, but
how long does this sit in the Chardonnay barrel?
You know, we don't know since it's still prototype, kind of a right?
But experiment.
I like the nose. I really do.
Yeah, I definitely kind of pick up that finest, you know. Is that the right word? Finest.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
But then you get the botanicals as well.
That is very smooth.
So this one, we also did a little more experimentation and cut with strictly well water for one barrel and then just strictly RO for another so that we can blend.
Wow. I mean, it looks like a Chardonnay too.
Right?
It really does, huh?
Oh, you pick up that oak and mm-hmm. get a little bit of that malolactic ferment in there. No more about wine and beer than I need spirits, but
I really like this.
This is good.
I really like this. Good job, boys.
Thank you. Wow. I like the route it was taking. That's why I had to go pull a sample. I was like, get these guys in on this.
Yeah, I'm smelling it. And then the mouth's still going. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I only took one sip, and I'm still tasting. I'm still getting different. Jesus Christ.
Yep. And even going back to it, it's like, whoa.
Has that nice viscosity, too, right, on the palate?
Oh, yeah.
Good weight.
That's it. It's definitely chewy. Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that for a sipping gin, though.
Right? I've had a lot of barrel-aged gins, like usually like whiskey barrels, and never a wine barrel.
I'm a fan.
Yeah, that's
so. When
that's
we see cool. this final product yeah. come out, you don't know. I mean, can we have a guess?
I think it's getting close. So you know, some of that popsicle stick from the barrel has tailed off. It's still there a little bit. I just want to.
At the very end?
Finish it out.
I've never heard that term, and that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. No, so, it was... for me, you know, when you put whiskey in, it tastes like I get a lot of popsicle stick for a while.
Uh-huh.
Tails off. And then that's when I begin to like it more and more.
Yeah, I think I'm going to use that now.
Yeah, I'm always like, what is that? Yeah. There's like this young wood thing going on, like... That makes a lot of sense.
Popsicle stick.
You blew our minds. Okay, one last question before we go to break. Tui.
Yes.
Here we go, brother. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
Besides liquor, you drink some good beers, right?
Yes, I do.
Without being biased, favorite brewery right now?
Oh, man. You're going to put me on the spot?
100%.
Oh, man. This is just...
So let's say, what brewery do you think is doing the best job right now to... showcase Utah craft beer?
Oh man,
as a whole, not style wise,
just Utah craft beer. If you're like, if someone came into town, your friends from out of state came in town, like, hey, I want to show what Utah beer is about, where are you sending them to?
Oh man,
give me three then.
Three of them,
sure. Okay. If one, if you can't nail to one, give me three.
Okay, one would be Hopkins here, another one would be Level Crossing, and I think the third one would be TF.
TF,
yes,
I like that.
So, because it's close to everything. Like food wise and whatnot, mm-hmm. have food and so.
Yeah, and just because Chad's here, he is. I mean
Chad, don't feel.
No, like, but Chad is.
But you have to sit.
This is a multiple people have told me how awesome and what Chad's doing is great. Yes. Chad, you are doing a fantastic job here. You and Matt are kicking ass here at Hopkins, and everyone loves you and your palate, dude.
Like, thanks, man.
I think Tui's right. I don't think he's saying it just because you're right here. But I think it's because there's legitimacy behind it.
I appreciate that. I mean, like you said, we just love seeing Salt Lake doing what it's doing right now. So
it's kicking ass, and we're making great spirits.
It's right. Pretty rad to be a part of this.
Cool
so. Beer.
Yeah, and we're in a cool community, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But like, it's super cool. I want to showcase it, but at the same time, be like, don't tell everybody. Right? It's like a little secret, right?
Yeah.
But with that being said, gentlemen, we're gonna take a little bathroom break.
Okay.
Real quick, we'll come back, but. Until then, yeah?
Cool. Taste Masters is brought to you by Hopkins Brewing Company.
By using the code TASTEMASTERS, you will receive 10% off your ticket upon checking out. Food only. But guys, it's badass food. They have chicken sandwiches, Thai wings, poutine. They have brunch every Saturday, Sunday. The food is fantastic. One of the best in town. Again, use the code TASTEMASTERS upon checking out. 10% off your entire ticket, minus the alcohol. Guys, let's keep it local by supporting local. This episode's also brought to you by you, if you wanted to be. We are looking for sponsors and would love to have you as part of our team. Feel free to email us for details at thetastemastersdrink@gmail.com or DM us through all social media platforms. Hey guys, it's David here. We are starting a Patreon, which is kind of like a tip jar, but digital. Basically what it does is it helps enhance the content of our podcast. If you like what you hear, want to help us out, go ahead and head to www.patreon.com/tastemasters and subscribe. Anything will help. All right, guys, we're back. Good old Harley and Tui back in the house. Chad, you feel better?
Oh, yeah, I feel great.
Hell yeah. So we got to get this going. We've been talking about this Moon's Best limited edition.
Oh, yeah.
So I was looking online. You guys have a huge thing about it. Basically, Hugh Moon was this Kentucky iconic figure that came to Utah. Is that what I'm hearing or I find out?
Well, he was from England and came to Utah. Okay. Or, well, by way of Nauvoo and the LDS Church, he became a member.
So was he Mormon then?
Yes.
Gotcha. Mormon making whiskey?
Yes.
Right.
On Whiskey Street, right? Main right. Street. Yeah, so he was the first distiller on record in Utah. And
wow.
Yeah, so.
What year was that?
1846 or something wow. around there, as far as the nice. Record goes. And he was distilling before that over in Nauvoo. And
cool.
Yeah, it says on your website, the first reference to distilling 1857.
Oh, 1857.
There's a huge reference in Henry Moon's diary that Hugh lost $100 worth of mash in his rainstorm in a rainstorm. Oh, it came from Liverpool in May 1840.
Yep.
When they finally arrived in Nauvoo in 1841.
Wow.
A little history behind
see,
you.
See, I need to save all of that to my memory banks better. More wow. accurately.
That's why I cheat and have a laptop in front of me.
Yeah. Who knows?
No, but so this is in honor of him?
Yes. So
what's the connection with Dinner Brick?
Well, they just wanted to pay homage to the Utah's first known distiller, but also the distillery sits on a plot of land that he owned at one point.
Oh, currently.
And whoa. Grew grain on, yeah. So he owned quite a bit of land to grow grain on and, you know, to have his distilling operations on. So, yeah, you know, the Mark learned of this story and the land was his once and just kind of wanted to pay homage to him. So, Moon's family, most of them they come by the distillery frequently. They're all
real?
About us telling,
still here?
Telling and sharing the story. Yeah.
No way. You should have like part of the Denim Brick tour, uh-huh. like a family member sitting there talking about stories of the family history. That's what you should do.
I don't know if we can afford that today.
$10 extra. That's really cool. 100%. So, yeah, Moon's Best Straight Rye Whiskey is 100% from locally grown rye.
Yeah.
Oh, where are you getting the locally grown rye from?
It's regionally locally grown. Okay. It comes from Idaho.
Gotcha. Well, yeah. I mean, that's northern Utah, right?
Yeah.
Idaho?
Yeah,
essentially.
Have you guys ever used grain from Solstice Malt?
So, I was telling you during the break that we just updated our pilot batch system.
Yeah.
That was to work on some malt trials from Solstice. We have some peated malt that James made for us that we are going to...
That shit's good, and I don't like it.
Smells so good.
Oh, my goodness.
We're gonna run through that pilot batch system and see what the flavor profile comes out like. The little still is a little different than our large still. So our large still, we can do grain on because we have a stripping column and then all of our rectification pot. The small still is a electric element, heating element, so we can't do grain on, so we have to do more. We have to produce an actual, like, louder product, grain, no grain. And
is that a pain in the ass to do?
Not really, no, now that we have the equipment.
Gotcha. Yes. I guess was it a pain in the ass to do?
It would have been a pain in the ass to do if we didn't get, like, the proper kettle and everything that
gotcha.
We needed to.
Gotcha. So while you're breaking that open, Harley... Question for you, Tui, if you will.
Yes.
What's the most proudest memory or movement you guys have done in Dented Brick that you're just like, you know what, I'm proud to be part of Dented Brick? But what do you guys have done that you're like, you know what, I can put my name behind it and I'm proud of it?
Just doing all the blends, I guess, and just seeing the labels switching out and just seeing that it actually starting to grow more than what I used to know as Dented Brick is. And so,
did you have help with the labels? I feel like you did.
No, it just, I don't know, it just, it seems more appealing. That's why I
because I feel like the 3D one, the Antelope Island.
Yeah.
I feel like you had, did you have a hand
in that? No.
Really?
Yeah, no. I just was just saying that it just looks more eye-catching.
You should have the bristle cone. Just put that in the background.
They're all going to this. We just don't have these really cool new labels yet.
Gotcha.
Bristle cone labels.
And so, Harley, yes. What's the most proudest moment you've been as a distiller, specifically a head distiller?
I guess I never really sit back and think about that. We have, again, like I said, so many SKUs, and I'm so busy all the time. I think probably just every time that we accomplish a new product or, every time we redevelop a recipe and solidify it and works out as planned, that makes me very happy. It's when things go accordingly and how they should.
So you just poured us that Hugh Moon. Chad's over here dying, so it must be fantastic. I mean,
Rye is one of my favorite things.
Ooh. Here's a shout out there, Chad. Can we make a candle out of this one?
A what?
A candle?
I
just talk about candles. I want to make a candle out of everything.
We have rye or whiskey.
Can you imagine this smelling up the house right now?
Glorious.
Sweetness on the nose, too.
Right.
So what kind of barrels did you use on this one?
Oh, that's nice.
Char 2 and Char 3 from International Stave Company.
Mm. This is 2 years old?
2 years old. Just a hair over.
And this is all... 100% Dented Brick.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Whose baby is this one? Who do we give credit to?
I want to say...
Oh, my God.
Mike McSurley was the distiller on the juice in this bottle.
Gotcha. That, my palate afterwards, it's like that sexy vanilla caramel sweetness at the end that dies off. It's like a hint of pepper.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking love that. Oh my God.
That's got that nice spice that going through it. And that like kind of fresh wood, but not too fresh. Like it's aged nicely for being only 2 years. Wow.
I'm actually blown away by this.
I want to try this in an old fashioned.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
this would be good in an old fashioned.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. So,
I feel like you do a disservice if you put ice in it, as in, like, I was thinking about drinking it neat with a big cube of ice, and then I'm taking it back. No, neat.
And it is 96 proof. No, sorry, we ended up at 90, so 45.
Oh, nice.
I like this a lot. Tui, what do you think about this one?
I love it a lot. So, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah?
Yeah, this is awesome.
Tui, what's your collection at home look like? Do you have a huge-ass bar?
No.
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 That was a quick response, dude.
I'm all like, no.
Got some Corona.
Harley knows. So I'm all like, no.
I feel like you should have some good shit, dude.
If you're not going to say it. Tui has a closet of whiskey.
Yeah, just to say that, yeah. I have a massive collection.
End of the world collection. I'm going to Tui's house.
Yeah. So.
I like that, Tui. I think this is my favorite one so far. I mean, I think, wow, that and the Chardonnay barrel.
The Chardonnay gin is awesome.
Chardonnay was fantastic. This was great. Amazing. And I'm not a huge rye, you know this, Chad, I'm not a huge rye person. And I...
I love this. How much do you guys charge for this?
It's $49.99.
Nice. That's your
goddamn
higher end stuff.
Harley, what's the hardest part about being a distiller?
Well...
to dealing with me, or
you're great.
Fuck it, Dewey.
You're great. The hardest part about being a distiller, I guess, just I think resources as far as education when you're first learning. You know, as you grow, I find myself in this head distiller job position having more resources than I once had. And it's super important. You know, I now can find answers to questions very quickly. And without the resources there, it's a little hard.
So with that being said, who's your go-to? Because I know a lot of times, like, I have questions. Obviously, I'll ask Derek. But I hit up Chad a lot for questions when it comes to brewing. Mm-hmm. Who's someone you go to as almost a mentor in the distilling world here in Utah?
I speak to Dylan over at 8 Settlers a lot. Him and I, we were roommates for a lot of years.
Oh, that's cool.
I like Dylan a lot. Yeah.
That guy's all right, I guess.
Yeah, he's okay, you know.
Nah, you can be okay.
I only reach out when I have to. So I talked to him a bunch. Ethan, talked to him. I don't know. Jeremy's a great resource also.
Yeah. He's a big fan of you, by the way, Harley. Big fan of you.
Yeah. I like that dude a lot. Big fan of him and what he's doing over there at Grid City. I think they crush it.
As far as
food and beer goes, I'm really liking Hopkins and Grid City's vibe a lot right now in comparison to, I guess, a lot of the other breweries. I think the food and the beer and the atmosphere are really nice.
Yeah, because like some places have great beer or liqueur, but they don't have a really good menu.
Uh-huh.
They have a great menu, but like iffy beer. I get that. But then Hopkins and Grid City...
Yeah, and then atmosphere could, you know.
You want to be there. You're happy. It's live. It's there. Like, I'm here. It's like a house. I'm home, if you will. Home feeling.
Yeah, it's comfy.
And when Grid City opened that roof, it's like, I can be outside and enjoy this too.
Really cool. I haven't been up there yet because
give it a shot. It's got an awesome.
It's rad. And then it just got hot as fuck.
Yeah.
So, yes. But, I mean, they're working on that. I mean, it'll be perfect. I mean, it just opened,
but it's
right?
Awesome.
The view is great. Minus the smog, it's great.
Yeah, I was up there before they finished it, and the view's awesome. I can't wait to go up there. It's just been hot. I don't want to do it.
And you're always, I feel like you've been a head distiller for a year, correct?
Correct.
And so you're continuously learning.
Yes.
So when it comes to a hurdle that you're not, that's hindering you, what's the resource besides the distiller? What are you going to go to? Where are you going to find that kind of help?
You know, I also did IBD. Certification in distilling. So there's a lot of resources on IBD. There's, you know, the American Craft Spirit Association.
Okay.
They have a lot of resources. So does ADI to a degree. Actually, ADI is really great. It just depends on what it is, right? Like, I've met some other great people in the industry that I could reach out to if the problem was like that much.
Gotcha.
Could really point me in the right direction real quick, I feel like.
And owners give you guys a free range of what to do, what you can do when it comes to creating? And
yes, very, awesome. Very much so. And I'm super appreciative and stoked on that, you know.
Hate this question, but I'm going to have to ask it based off that. Are we seeing a flavored whiskey come out? Vintage Brick? Like a peach whiskey or a cinnamon?
So, to be honest, toasted marshmallow has been thrown out there by an investor. We're reluctant to do that. We do have flavored rums, though. We have a peach-flavored rum.
Ooh.
And it's, you know, it's not my spice of life, but it's really good, actually. We have a pineapple, mango, and passion fruit rum, like not all three separate ones, that we're currently redeveloping the recipes to, that we will be releasing. We'll be releasing the pineapple this week.
Oh, shit.
And the peach, we're doing another batch of that.
Pineapple.
Oh, down.
I want to try that coconut.
What was the coconut one called
again? Disco nut.
Disco nut.
Yep.
And that one, you were saying this earlier, we didn't catch this one, but the disco nut is a flavored rum with coconut. Tell us the story behind that one.
So it was not a brainchild of mine. It was Brandon's. And so Brandon coming from, I assume, and I don't have all the details, but him coming from a brewing background, I think, you know, wanted to try some glitter in some spirit. So we got food grade glitter. It's from Micah. Not for Micah, but front. It's mica based. It's a mica material. And yeah, coconut syrup and rum and glitter. And
nice.
And the proceeds go to, you said?
They go to Utah Pride Center in Utah. All proceeds from Utah sales go to the Utah Pride Center. All sales in Florida, those proceeds go to the Florida Pride Center. We put different labels on each one of those. We're not currently working with, and then anything outside of that in any other state, we're working with the National Pride Center on.
That's really cool, guys. That's super cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Tui.
Yes.
What's a personal goal of yours at Dented Brick and then outside of Dented Brick? That's two loaded questions for you.
It's fine. Let's see. The Dented Brick, I kind of like where I'm at because I like to move around and do things. It's just what I do. I like that. So I just hope I'll be a Dented Brick for a while. So, and personal stuff, I don't know, just enjoy life as much as I can.
Enjoy life, dude. That's just simple and easy. I love that.
Be happy and just make sure everyone else is happy.
Yeah. So. are we ever going to see a Tui recipe of liquor come out?
Maybe. We'll see.
why not?
I don't know. I'm just so much is going on right now. I wouldn't mind making something, but.
You got some
it'll be kind of in the works, back of your head? Like, I'm sorry.
Do you have some ideas in the back of your head, like what you want to release?
No,
a whiskey, a vodka, a rum?
Might be a whiskey, so we'll see. I don't know. Maybe something else. So
I'm excited, dude. I say the Tui release, dude.
Okay.
I'll support that.
Yeah, I'm on board.
Let's do it.
That would be an easy sell at the distillery.
Yeah, let's do it. The Tui Chewy. Let's just, just send it. I love it. Harley, what's some future goals we have for Dented Brick? You are the head distiller.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've been there for a year. I feel like you're going to be here for a while. So let's. What's a goal for Dented Brick that you have personally for Dented Brick?
Just to streamline our process to ease everything so that we can continue to do R&D on fun stuff. Get through that, which I think we have. We've had a lot of process optimization. We have, for instance, some rum in reused rye and bourbon cooperage that we're going to make a spiced rum later in the fall. And I'm kind of leaning towards today. We're waiting for the barrels to get a little bit older before we begin all of the R&D on it or the rest of the R&D, but I'm kind of leaning towards a chai spiced rum because they share a lot of similar spices, right? We'll begin work on the spice loads for that here soon.
That sounds really cool, actually.
Yeah, and then other goals just to, honestly, to make a successful business so that we can continue to do what we want to do. Like I said, the value line helps keep the lights on, and then it affords us to be able to do some other creative stuff that is really fun.
So on that note, what's a style of liqueur you haven't done yet that you really want to do?
I'm a whiskey guy all day, to be honest. So more whiskeys.
More whiskeys?
Is the direction I'd like to go. And, interesting barrel finishes on whiskeys because I really like that as well. You can take, base whiskeys that you already have established and make them more interesting through finishing processes. So.
There you go, dude. I think you're passionate about that, and Chad and I can see that. Mm-hmm. So I say, run with that, dude.
Yeah.
Go. Put the pedal awesome on that one.
Yeah.
So collabs with distilleries. Are we doing any collab with a distillery anytime soon? I haven't seen, I don't think, Chad, I don't know, have we seen a collab with a distillery here in Utah? Holystone meets Dented Brick or something. You know what I mean? Like, have we seen something like that?
I never heard anything more.
So like, I'm giving you guys the idea.
Distillery with breweries.
Have you ever thought about
that? That's the only thing I can think of.
Distillery to distillery?
I like that. We can take a page from the beer world, right?
And yeah, why not?
Collaborate.
What's wrong with that?
Instead of our collaboration just being sharing resources, actually make a product. That's
a
great idea.
Write down, write a recipe, see what you guys want to do. Maybe something flavored, something unique, something funky.
Yeah.
And then send it. I think you just go with something. Flavored vodka would be cool. Whiskey would be kind of tough because you're going to sit on it for a minute. Yeah. But, you could do a cool gin, get together. I think there's some cool. You guys are talking about how there's a lot of distillers out here that you guys are friends with.
Mm-hmm.
So why not do a collaboration? Chad, we're going to do a collaboration with Chad, you know, Strap Tank, and then there's breweries are always doing collaborations, and I think it's really cool to see, you know, left meets right or whatever, and get together and just kind of come up with a cool beer, and then both locations have that beer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I haven't thrown this idea out to any distillery yet, but what's wrong with doing that with the distillery world?
I love that. That's a great idea. I mean, I think a gin seems right there, like the best first choice, maybe just easiest first choice. Yeah, I like that a lot. We worked on a bunch of gins for a private label, and I find that I really do like making gin a lot.
Okay.
We did a bunch of different recipes, and it kind of just it fizzled because they liked all the gins that we were producing for them, but they didn't know what they wanted, and then they wanted us to continue to bring them different things.
Gotcha.
Until we landed where they wanted, and that's so much R&D time to devote to bringing that to the table. We just kind of had to, like, sorry, we can't do this. But working with another distiller on a gin,
that's a little bit different.
Yeah, we could land pretty quickly.
So you're thinking gin, and I'm just going to shout out my three, I mean, not with you guys, so outside of you guys, okay, my three favorite gins. And Chad, I want to hear yours too. Not in any order. We got Holy Stones gin, that Navy Strength.
Yep.
Fucking phenomenal.
It's great.
Or we could just do the Cerealia, where it's a little bit of purple gin. Oh, there you go. And then Chad and I loved the Green Ditch from Eight Settlers, with Dylan's first run at gin. I think it was awesome. And then the Hammer Spring.
Mm-hmm.
I think his gin, Chad and I were like, this is yours, and his barreled aged gin too. I was blown away with that one. So I think if you're going to do a gin, I would recommend, in my eyes, at least one of those guys.
Absolutely.
Just what happens. I mean, with top three gins, Chad.
I don't know, I'm right there with you. But then I also haven't had much of, like, Beehive's gin either.
The Jackrabbit.
Barrel, we dumped the rest. I'm like, oh, shit, that is strong. But I haven't really had it on its own. And, like, since we've been doing these shows, I'm drinking them on its own. Because usually I'm just getting, like, a gin and tonic. And, like, all right. But, like, you're not really appreciating the spirit for what it is, so... It's my first time really tasting them all on its own.
But, I mean, the collaboration, dude.
But like, oh, yeah, definitely. And each one is so unique, too. Everybody's using different herbs and botanicals and stuff.
All these masterminds get together. And I'm seeing all you distillers sitting at table and just, like, figuring out how to do a gin. I'm just, like, blown away. I want to be at that table when that happens.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, I do, too. If we're shouting out locals, I think Beehive's gin's great. The barrel-aged one I really like. And then Uma from New World is really good.
No, what? I haven't had that.
Yeah, I haven't.
Have not had that.
Yeah, I really like what they're doing up there in New World. Chris and Ashley are doing some good stuff.
Get a collab going, boys. Let's go.
Right?
But did you see a collaboration with any breweries?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, yes, I would love to do it. What's that?
Have you done any yet?
No,
breweries?
No, we've had some offers to distill some beer, and it just didn't fit into our production schedule, and it was already hopped and stuff, and what comes out the other end after it's hopped is sometimes, you know, it can go either way.
I got you. And then about cideries. I mean, you only have Mountain West, I understand, and the one in Torrey, Utah, just opened up, but we see a collaboration with the cidery by chance?
So we do have a barrel of brandy from Mountain West Cider. That was a Brandon brainchild. I've tasted it recently, but it needs a little more time in wood.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Yes.
Question for you then. When it comes to DABC problems and distilling and brewing, what's something that you think needs a change in the DABC or Utah liquor laws? Especially because you've been in the brewing scene and the liquor scene. What's something you're like, you just want?
I think they need to support more of the local stuff instead of, like, delisting. I think that's the word for, like, local stuff.
That's,
and I never understood that. It's like, if I ran something here in Utah, I would be supporting more of the local stuff and a little bit of the international stuff. But you got to support everything here in Utah and make Utah grow. It's like, just got to do it. That's the only thing I can think of. So,
because you're a huge supporter for local things.
You do
distilleries, breweries, everything. So what will it take for someone like you to get a voice said or heard through the DABC?
I would just show up. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I don't know that question.
It's a tough one. I mean, I don't know. I don't know
I don't know what to do. It's like, even just trying to voice my opinion. might go somewhere, might not.
I mean, so. We can sit here and try to email the senator all we want, but I don't know if it's going to do a damn thing.
No, right.
Yeah, and well, one thing I learned from our last podcast with Hammerspring. It's like, how do I get your product? What's the best? Do I just come buy it? Because like, I want to go buy it directly from the distillers to make sure they're, you know, we're giving them the highest profit they can get, not having to go through a middleman. But he had a good point. He's like, now you buy through the DABC, like, costs him a little bit of margin, but that's going to ensure his product stays in the DABC.
Right.
Yep.
Oh, shit.
There's demand for it, is what he was saying.
So
Chad and I Chad and I are on the same page, like, yeah, we'll come to Hammerspring, we'll support you. And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, but I need you to buy at the DABC too, because then people are getting purchased there. Because
showing some demand, it doesn't get delisted.
Yes.
I'll come to Den and Brick to get my stamp for the Utah Spirit Trail, but then I have to go get DABC, it as well. I'll get one or two bottles, and I'll get the other bottle at the DABC. How's that?
We have,
need to privatize the...
Oh, fuck, I know.
Liquor stores, you know?
We have some distillery-only products, though, so...
Oh, okay, that's good to know.
Feel free to come to our distillery.
What are some of the distillery-only products you have?
Moon's Best is a distillery-only product, and we may attempt to get that into the DABC here soon. This whiskey right here, the craft whiskey, our value line whiskey, blended whiskey, it is distillery only currently also, because when we submitted it, it didn't fit into that price band. There was too many whiskeys in that price band, and they didn't factor in the volume at all. So they denied us to bring in 8 Settlers, which we're, as friends, super happy that our friends were able to get in. Instead of, you know, some big national product from Kentucky or wherever. No shame on Kentucky. But so that's distillery only also. And then the flavored rums, which we won't even, until we begin to see a, you know, desire for those more strongly, we won't even submit them to the DABC. But yeah, we're in the same situation. You know, the cells for Bristlecone, you guys liked that?
Yeah.
They are not... It's been on the chopping block for a little while, and they have been ordering recently. So, if we're not getting the cells, they're not showing the cells, and they're going to chop us, no matter if the product's good or what. Please both support the DABC and the Type 5 package agencies of local places. I think everyone kind of has right now, because of how the DABC's ran, they have distillery only products, which is great because it brings you into the distillery just like a brewery, right?
Gotcha.
That's good. You want to see you want to see the distillery, you want to meet the people behind the product. Like, that's important.
Yeah. Come feel comfortable and see what we're doing. We want to provide an inclusive environment to everybody. And
Absolutely. But at the end of the day, Harley, when it comes to Dented Brick, not just Dented Brick, but you as a head distiller, what do you want to be known for as a head distiller, or to be set apart from other head distillers?
Good quality product that, you know, the flavor profile doesn't deviate frequently. You know, we want to get into those, you know, that replication mode that we can just repeat, and, you know, just good high quality product. Honestly. And, you know, with Dented Brick, I think I factor in for a great price. Even our craft line is $21.99. So.
What? That's easy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Our craft line, our premium line, and then our ultra premium is $50. So, yeah, just, you know, good quality product and a go-to that people can trust.
Yeah. I mean, I'm curious to see what's going to happen with you guys in the future. I mean, it's growing. You guys are still fairly new in a way, right? I mean,
yeah, but
it's gonna get bigger and better.
5-year mark.
Yeah, and then it's just, I feel like Dented Brick can leave a mark. You just gotta keep pushing that boundary in a way, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Tui, what's one of the most proudest liquors you've been a part of at Dented Brick?
Just coming on board and just trying to, I guess, straighten things out just from. What happened from the? I mean, nothing really happened bad in the past, but just kind of like going the right direction of just getting things like
going in the right way,
way and stuff.
Gotcha, so. Gotcha.
Yeah.
What can we do? How do people contact Dented Brick? What if I want to find Dented Brick besides going to Dented Brick? What else can we find you guys anywhere else besides the DABC?
As far as other states, I mean, there's our website. So if you're in another state, we are on Drizzly. And so if in a state
shipped
that you can
you, huh?
have shipped to you products, then...
Not Utah.
Not Utah.
Come on.
Yeah, if you're in one of those states, then you can order our product. Come to our Type 5 package agency, support that, and buy distillery-only releases. Go on a tour and buy from the DABC. You know, again, we're in California. We're in some Walmarts in Washington, Missouri. We're in Florida. Arizona, actually, is another one that just came online.
Oh,
pretty
yeah.
strong. We're getting into Total Wines in Arizona, which is...
Oh, nice.
We're super excited about. So, yeah, just support in any of that way and keep trying our products.
So what's something that Chad and I can do to help you guys? Chad as a brewer, me as a brewer, and this podcast, what can Tastemasters and Chad Hopkin, what can we do for you guys to help Den & Brick get a little more spotlight?
Just provide support. You know, if Chad, if you want to bring our product, you like our products and bring it into your brewery, we'd be super stoked on that. David, thanks for putting us on Tastemasters and,
thank
you know,
you.
By putting that out there. That gets us out there more, and we're going to repost. You know, we're trying to – we have a new social media person. We're trying to gain a stronger presence on social media. And, you know, we have a lot of plans in the works. So
I think a secret weapon you guys have, we go to, like, the Brew Fest and, like, the Distillery Fest. And it's Tui. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, I'm not kidding either.
What I would do is Tui, just fucking wear your Den & Brick shit and just go walk everywhere and just – I'd hand stickers, I'd hand samples, if you could hand samples, I guess. But
if
like,
we could hand
samples. Come back to Den & Brick real quick. Just come with me.
Yeah, just come with
Tui,
me.
Tui, I'm telling you, you could be the biggest salesman ever by just being you, dude.
No, it's funny, like, since I go out a lot, when I talk about certain products, even when I worked at High West and Level Crossing, and now, like, people thought I was a sales rep. I'm like, no, I just make the stuff.
I'm just Tui.
And they're like, wait, what?
I'm doing
and I'm like,
things.
No, I'm not a sales rep. I just do.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you what the product is if I don't know it. I'm
but that's
tell you
about
the
it,
truth.
Brother. Is you're passionate about it.
Yes.
And that is, it's you can feel it.
Yeah.
And you got to send it.
This is our hometown. See our hometown doing
and you've
cool
been
shit.
Here.
Like, it's like you got to support what our hometown is doing. That
everything.
That we're
I mean, all of us. I mean, that's the thing. I've never not heard Chad say, don't support so and so. It's like support. Like, go.
So
like, let's
go.
Come here, but go wherever, other places as well.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing. I think. Go to more of these festivals and just send Tui.
Here, wear this shirt and go over there.
I mean, one thing that's cool for you guys is like you guys worked together at High West and you guys kind of went and did other shit. And then now you're back together at Den & Brick. And now you're like getting creative, doing stuff like that I haven't seen before. Like, that's awesome. And then it was cool like a few weeks ago. Like, I'm just sitting at my bar working. Yeah. And I had no idea like that you had jumped on with Den & Brick. Yep. And then you show up, I'm like, oh, what's up, Tui? Like, I'm like Den & Brick t-shirts walking in.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
yeah, they've never been to Hopkins.
Like, oh, yeah.
I was like, hey, let's go eat over here. Try their beers.
Nice.
Good food, good beer. Let's try it.
You're out there supporting everybody.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's awesome.
I think we need more of that, though.
Yeah, right. I feel like we need to all like really support each other. And that's something I want to bring up earlier is like, you know, the breweries have this camaraderie. Like, we're all really cool with each other. Like, sounds like the distillers are starting to get there, too. Like, you know, and then there's Mountain West too, like friends with those guys. I feel like Utah, like we need to kind of get together, like as a complete alcohol industry.
Yeah, it's like a big fan.
Everybody needs to like. That's one thing. And with Brandon, we always talked about was like, oh, you got the Utah Brewers Guild. What about the distillers? What about the ciders? Like, so I feel like there's something bigger that we need to do here.
We'll do the Utah Tastemasters Guild, and we'll just bring
there we go.
Anything, and I think again. Shout out to the Pink Boots, but I think they nailed it where they're going to include not just brewers, but brewers, distillers, and anything in the fermentation process. So even like Hans Kombucha, like kombucha makers, they deal with fermentation, yeast, and all that. Like, let's bring them in. And I think we should just, because I always say this in the podcast where brewers, we have like this brotherhood, if you will. I mean, not to segregate women, but like it's like this family, right?
Yeah.
And distillers, and I talked to Ethan about this, and distillers have like this kind of, we're all cool with each other, but like we're kind of, we're on our own, right?
Yep.
Still a fun, but like, if we just kind of bring them all in, be like, hey, we're all together. Let's all collaborate. Let's all great ideas and bounce ideas off each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would love, I think one of my biggest pet peeves is making a beer that I made personally. And people be like, oh, this is perfect. It's the greatest beer I ever made. I'm like, okay. But, like, I made a cider the other day with Mountain West, and that episode will have already come out. But I made a cider, and I was like, oh, cool, my first cider. We broke it down on the podcast. I shared it with Chad the other day. I made a mango and chili cider. It was really cool. Yeah. It was really fascinating. But, like, I was sitting here, like, everyone's like, oh, it's fucking awesome. It's the best thing ever. Not everyone, but a lot of people, I'm like, no, it's not the best thing ever. Like, it's my first attempt.
Yeah.
I could fix this, this, this. Even Chad. Chad, I think, is my favorite go-to of, like, advice, because he's like, I get this. I get this. I get this. I'm like, yeah, me too. How can I fix this? Well, let's go this way. Let's go this way. And that's the thing. It's like always getting better.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. As long as you're in this industry and you're trying to hone in your craft, I feel like as artists for you, Harley, it's never going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. But there's always something you can fine tune. And that's what's going to make you the artist you are. It's just like continue to fine tune, but continue to create and continue to like reach. Kind of like that's what the beauty Chad's taught me this a lot. But in craft, the word craft is like you can reach a little bit. Go ahead and just be a little funky, be a little bit weird, but make sure it tastes, the balance is there. I think my favorite motto in the brewing industry right now is from Grid City. It's taste, balance, finish.
Yes.
And I think that should be in distillery, cidery, anything, everything you do. Taste, balance, finish. Even in cooking, like that should be the kind of thing. So my recommendation for you guys is continue to go, stretch a little bit, like kind of reach out there, see what happens, but then don't feel ashamed to come to us and like, I'll give you feedback.
Yeah.
Chad will give you feedback and we'll support. Yeah. And I think you guys are doing great things and it's going to continue to grow.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what happens. But is there anything else you have for us today, gentlemen, that we can do?
No, I mean, to add to what you're saying, I mentioned replicate, tweak a little bit to always get better, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, make that the best product you can possibly
that's
make.
That's what you're calling quality product. Like, it's just about fine tuning. That's it. Because Chad's worked on his Pilsner for like, fuck.
2.5 years.
Like forever, it seems like, since Nam. And it's still getting better. It's getting better every time he does his Pilsner. It's just getting better and better. And that's like one of my favorite beers he makes.
Right.
And he's always satisfied with it, but he can always tell, like, I can do this. I can do this. And that's what you guys can do as artists.
Always feel that way.
And that's
one little one thing.
But that's it. Take a tenth of it or whatever. It change it and grow. Harley, it was great meeting you today.
Great meeting
you. I cannot wait to see what happens for us in the future.
Yeah.
Our next product comes out, let's do a Den & Brick part two. Right. Tui, don't fucking change.
Right? I would never change.
I know you're not going to, but goddamn, dude.
Changed, no.
I think everyone needs a Tui in their life. And I
hear that a lot. I wish I had a Tui working for me.
Yeah, do it. Yeah, do it. Clone yourself, and then I think you should start
the
hashtag.
You know how many times I heard that? Like, we just clone you.
And then I'm giving you the hashtag right now. Hashtag Tui things.
Yeah,
just Tui do Tui things. Right. Hey, what are you doing today? Tui things.
Tui things.
It's whatever, yes. Dude.
Okay.
I think your next liquor that you produce or your recipe, it should be called Tui things.
Tui things. Yeah. I think, yeah. I like that, actually. Yeah. No, I think that'd be good.
And then the second one he releases, Tui things too. The triple T's, dude. The
triple T's, yes.
No, but gentlemen, thanks so much for coming today on this episode. I do appreciate you guys taking the time out of your Saturday to come down here. But if there's anything in the future that I can do for this podcast and help you guys personify that spotlight for you, let me know and I'll be there for you. And then I cannot wait till the next time you come on.
Same here.
Sounds good. Yeah, Chad, thanks again.
Thank you again.
Chad, thank you guys.
Chad, thank you guys. This means so much. So
we'll keep in touch, guys. Yeah. All right. Until the next Distilled Spirit, my friends.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. You can find us on Instagram @the_Tastemasters, on Twitter @TheTastemasters, and on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded @Fuse Audio. Give them a follow @Fuse_Audio.